Excellent, excellent, excellent. Well, good morning and welcome. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace, or maybe if you've been here for the last 3 weeks or come for the first time in, for the last 3 weeks, you may not know who I am because Anthony has been walking us through this series called The Fight. And before we go any further, I just want to take a second and just celebrate Anthony and everything that he's been doing for the last 3 weeks. Would you guys celebrate him? He has been doing an amazing job of walking us through the life of Jacob. And also, in addition to that, I don't talk about this enough. I just want to mention really quickly and give us a chance to celebrate really quickly. I don't know if you guys know just the incredible gift that it is to have the staff serving you the way that they do. And our staff here at Hoboken Grace does an amazing job. And for me, being on vacation for the last couple weeks and just kind of watching them do what they do and being able to really take a vacation and not worry about and think about things is an amazing thing. And they do so much to be able to love you, to be able to make it possible for us to be able to love our city, for us to be able to love around the world. Would you guys just celebrate the staff for a second? I'm excited because tomorrow morning we head off for 4 days where we're laying out all of this next year and talking through our strategy. And as I was thinking about that, it just hit me how much of a gift it is to be able to look forward to those things as opposed to dreading those things. And just the amazing job that they do of loving us and our family. If you haven't been with us for the past couple weeks, right now we're in the middle of this conversation called The Fight. And we've been looking at those battles that all of us experience and walk through at some time or another. And so we looked at the battle of temptation, and we looked at the battle of forgiveness, and we looked at the battle of identity, and we looked at all of these different battles that every single one of us encounters, and the amazing way that God is stepping into our lives and trying to teach us how to run the race or how to fight in such a way that we can win. And we all want to win, all of us. We want to live lives that thrive. We want to win the battle. But unfortunately, all too often, we find ourselves on the other side. And so God is stepping into our lives. And from the beginning, we were looking at this passage that we find in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, where God says, "Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever." And he says this, he says, "Therefore, do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air." And God acknowledges what we know, that life oftentimes is a battle. It's a battle. But God doesn't just acknowledge it. He also steps in and says, let me teach you how to be able to run so that you can win. Let me teach you how to be able to fight in a way that you can actually win that battle with your past. And throughout this series, we've been looking at how God does this in really powerful ways in the story of Jacob. And how with Jacob's story, he's revealing the lies that we often can take to ourselves, that we often can begin to believe that lead to defeat. And he's talking to us about these incredible truths that allow us to be able to win. And as we come together today and wrap up this conversation, I want to take you to one more. One more thing that I think we see in the life of Jacob that is absolutely crucial. Absolutely crucial if we're going to fight in a way that we can win. If we're going to run the race in such a way that we can get to the end and say, "I ran the race well." And I don't think there's any question. I think the number one theme of the story of Jacob is exactly what we talked about last week that Anthony brought to us, the faithfulness of God. There's no question. The number one theme throughout the story of Jacob is just that. It's the faithfulness of God and the amazing way the amazing way, the unthinkable way that God continues to pursue Jacob. Even as Jacob makes mistake after mistake after mistake, even after Jacob walks away time after time after time, the amazing way that God continues to pursue him, the amazing way that God forgives him, the amazing way that God continues to keep his promise to him. I don't think there's any doubt that the primary theme and the primary thing that God wants us to see in the story of Jacob is the faithfulness of God. But the secondary theme, and the thing that we haven't talked about yet, and this is so important, the secondary theme is just below it. Is just below it. Let me just recapture for you what we've seen so far in the life of Jacob. Let me just walk you through some of the events and situations that we've seen Jacob in. And some of them we just kind of mentioned as in passing, but many of them we talked about in depth. Let me just kind of capture for you Jacob's story as we jump through it. Genesis chapter 25, we see Jacob manipulate his brothers into selling him his birthright, or his brother into selling him his birthright. Genesis chapter 27, he deceives his father, stealing his brother's blessing. In doing so, he drives a permanent divide into his family. As the chapter continues, he ends up fleeing from his brother, never to see his mother again. In Genesis 29, he marries two sisters, loving one more than the other, creating incredible pain in his own family. In Genesis chapter 30, he begins to deceive his father-in-law. In Genesis chapter 31, he ends up not only having to flee from his own family, but now he's having to flee from his father-in-law as well. In Genesis chapter 34, his daughter's raped. Later in the passage, his sons murder an entire city. Not only has he had to flee from his family, not only has he had to flee from his father-in-law, now he has to flee from that area. Genesis chapter 35, his son sleeps with one of his wives. In Genesis 37, his sons sell one of his other sons into slavery. In Genesis 38, his son Judah has a child with his own son's wife. In Genesis chapter 43, you see a father who no longer trusts his sons at all. By the time you get to Genesis chapter 47 and Jacob is standing before Pharaoh, you understand why Jacob says what he says. Listen to what Jacob says to Pharaoh as he captures his story. Genesis chapter 47:9 says, Jacob replied, I have traveled this earth for 130 hard years. And we love happy stories. Specifically, we love happy endings. As a matter of fact, almost every story we tell has an arc to it that ends with a happy ending. It's the story of every romantic comedy. It's the story of every Matthew McConaughey movie that you've ever seen that you won't admit you saw because it's a Matthew McConaughey movie. It's the same story, right? Guy makes terrible decisions, but then he finally meets the right person. They fall in love, and they have a happy ever after ending. We love stories with happy endings, and we love the conquering hero, and we love the person who turns their life around, and everything is great from that point on. And because of the faithfulness of God in the story of Jacob, it's easy for us to read that into Jacob's story. Because of the fact that God continues to love Jacob, because of the fact that God continues to forgive Jacob, because of the fact that God continues to pursue Jacob, because of the fact that God is faithful in his promises, it's easy for us to read that into the story of Jacob. And also because of the fact that we often read the Bible the way that we watch a TV show. It's almost like entertainment, and so we're watching it like this isn't real. It's just something that I'm watching from a distance. And when you read the Bible that way, it can be very easy for you to lose touch with what's actually happening. And it's easy for us, when we see God's faithfulness and when we're detached from it, for us to begin to believe that the story of Jacob is a story of triumph. That because of God's faithfulness, that Jacob is a story of victory. like we just talked about in those songs. But I want for you to imagine just for a second. I want for you to imagine what it was like to actually be Jacob. Just to imagine those things we just talked about. Well, just to imagine what it was like to actually be Jacob. Imagine what it's like to be married to two women. I can barely communicate well with one. No, but seriously. Jacob was incredibly close to his mother. Imagine what it was like for him to flee and never speak to her again. Imagine what it was like when his daughter came home and she walks in and tells him, "I've been raped." Imagine what it was like to watch his sons become murderers. Imagine what it's like to be a father who suspects your sons of killing your other son. So much so that you can trust them with nothing. And even on the brink of death, you won't trust them with your other son. Imagine for a moment what it was like to be Jacob. I don't think there's any doubt. The number one reason God walks us through the story of Jacob, as in-depth as he does, I don't think there's any doubt that the number one reason is because he wants for us to see the beauty of God's faithfulness. He wants for us to know the beauty of God's relentless love. But right behind it, there's another theme. And that is this. This is what it looks like when you live your life like a fool. This is what it looks like. This is what it looks like when you live your life fighting God. You see, Jacob's story is nothing short of a tragedy. It's an unbelievable tragedy. And the reality is that God continued to pursue Jacob. And God's love and faithfulness and forgiveness were unending towards Jacob. And the reality is, based on what the writer of Hebrews says, is that Jacob is with God today, forgiven. But along the way, Jacob destroyed everything that was good in his life. Everything. The only son of Jacob that is spoken of highly is the one who's removed from him. I think the number one reason God gives us the story of Jacob is to teach us the faithfulness of God. But right behind it, God is screaming through the scriptures. Screaming through the scriptures. You can't screw around with sin and think you're going to get away with it. God is screaming through the scriptures, this is the legacy of a fool. And if you live your life in such a way that you're consistently and constantly walking away from what God is leading you to, the truth is that God will remain faithful. And God's love is unending and overwhelming. But in the process, you will destroy everything that's truly meaningful and good in your life. And as you walk through the story of Jacob, you see the difficult thing when it comes to grace. Because what can happen with grace and forgiveness, is that we will believe, and it's easy for us to believe, that because God continues to forgive, and because of the fact that God continues to pursue, and because God is patient, and because of the fact that God continues to keep his promise to us, we can begin to believe that sin isn't that bad. And we can begin to believe that we can get away with it without experiencing the consequence of it. In the book of Galatians, Paul's writing to a church that is beginning to believe this. And as he's writing to this church, he says something really interesting to them. It's found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. He says this. He says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." The writer's writing to a church who has experienced God's grace and God's forgiveness, but rather than them experiencing that forgiveness and walking away from the things that will destroy them, they continue to pursue the things that will destroy them. And so Paul's writing to them, he says, another translation says it this way, he says, "For freedom, you have been set free." And he's writing to them, he says, what are you doing? Like, God gave his life to free you from the things that are going to destroy you, but you're going back to them. He said, don't use that freedom to walk back to the things that are going to destroy you. He says, no. Use that freedom to step into a life of love. And as you look at the story of Jacob, it's a perfect illustration of exactly what Paul's trying to walk the church in Galatia through, where Jacob is experiencing the forgiveness and the grace of God, but rather than him experiencing that forgiveness and having it change the way he lives, rather than it changing who it is that he follows and who makes the decisions in his life, because make no mistake about it, Jacob made the decisions for Jacob. I feel like Derek Jeter's phrase that he puts across all of his t-shirts would be a perfect phrase for Jacob. I did it my way. And "I did it my way" destroyed everything. And Paul's writing to the church and saying, What are you doing? Don't you understand what sin does? And the story of Jacob is this incredibly powerful picture of what it means to be forgiven, but to live in the midst of the brokenness and the destruction and the consequence of sin. And the reality is, as God steps into your life and my life, that God has made it, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago as we were walking through this series, that God has made it possible for all of us to be forgiven. Jesus Christ gave his life on that cross to take all of our sin and all of our shame, to take all of the punishment that we deserve. And the reality is that God has come to us and said, "Listen, I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to adopt you. I have all these amazing things. I'm going to pursue you. I'm going to love you." And God will be faithful in those things. But here's the reality of it. Just because you don't experience the punishment of sin doesn't mean that you're not going to experience the consequence of sin. And God spared Jacob the punishment for his sin. As a matter of fact, Romans says that God was just in sparing Jacob the punishment of his sin because he was looking forward to Christ, and therefore he didn't punish those in times past. And what he's talking about is the fact that God didn't require Jacob to be punished because the punishment for sin is death, and Jacob deserved to die for what he did. And he deserved to be condemned, and he deserved for God to walk away from him. But as Anthony said last week, God didn't. And the story of Jacob is this incredibly powerful picture of one who's been forgiven. But because of the fact that he continues, to walk away from what God is leading him into, he is experiencing over and over and over and over again in his life the consequence of sin. And here's the reality of it. There's a punishment for sin that Jesus has taken on your behalf. But there are certain outcomes to sin in this world, consequences to sin that if you do not change your direction, you will experience. And the burden and the weight of them will be overwhelming. And it destroyed everything good in Jacob's life. Everything good. So Paul writes to the church at Galatians and says, what are you doing? What are you doing? God didn't set you free so you could go back to the things that destroy you. But the problem is for so many of us, we continue to believe that God is against us. We continue to believe that God, when God steps into our lives and says, listen, don't do that, it's sin. We continue to believe that he's holding out on us. We continue to believe that we're going to be able to make better decisions than what he would lead us into. Jacob's whole life, he believed that God was holding out on him, that he could do it better himself. And in the process, he destroyed it all. He destroyed it all. And you know what the crazy part about it is? The crazy part about it is, oftentimes, and I've been there, I've lived this, where God has said, listen, don't do that, it's going to destroy you. Don't do that, it's going to destroy you. And I decided to do it anyway. And I experienced the consequence of sin. And you know what happened when I experienced the consequence of sin? Rather than acknowledging that, you know what, I put myself here, I got mad at God. I said, God, why did you do this to me? I remember a conversation with one of my mentors where I was whining about what God had done to me, and my mentor looked me straight in the face and said, Chris, God didn't do this to you. You put yourself here. And I will give Jacob that. It doesn't seem that Jacob ever looked at it and said, God did this to me. It seemed that Jacob owned it. He owned it. Paul's writing to the church and saying, you have to understand, God's grace isn't about continuing to live in the things that will destroy us. Listen to how he continues as he gets a little bit further down in chapter 5 and verse 19. He says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility. And he starts off with the ones that we've talked about a lot, with the sexual immorality and those types of things. But then as he continues, he goes into the ones that we don't talk about very much. He says, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. As I read through the end of that story, I was like, oh my gosh, it's literally describing Hoboken. Like Paul, it couldn't have captured Hoboken better. And he's saying to them, what are you doing? It's for freedom that you were set free. Don't you realize that God didn't just want to save you from the punishment? He wanted to save you from the sin. He wanted to save you from the destruction, from the devastation, from the pain. But we continue to fight against him. We're literally the individual drowning in the pool, fighting the lifeguard who's trying to save us. He says, these things are going to destroy you. And my fear is, because we talk about grace a lot, and we talk about God's love and God's forgiveness and God's faithfulness, and that's true. But my fear is that in the midst of the conversation, we'll begin to take sin lightly, and we will end up living the legacy of a fool. We'll begin to believe that God's grace was given so that we could continue to sin, as opposed to believing that God's grace was given so that we could walk away from sin. And as he's talking through these sins, you see at the beginning, he's talking about the ones that we so easily understand destroy us. But then as he continues, he talks about the ones that we just accept, that we invite into our lives believing, you know what, this one's not really going to destroy me. This one's not really going to hurt me. This one's not really going to get me. But make no mistake about it. In Jacob's life, the sin that destroyed him, it wasn't at the beginning of this verse. The sin that destroyed him was the sin of envy and greed. Jacob always wanted more. And he would do whatever it took just to get more. Envy and greed. It's a good thing we don't struggle with those in Hoboken. God says, why are you continuing to act? Why are you continuing to act like it's okay? Don't you see? And he puts Jacob's story up as a giant warning sign. A giant warning sign. This is what it looks like to live life as a fool. And some of you are here today. Some of you are here today and you're experiencing the consequence of sin and you're mad at God about it. And you need to own it. You need to own it. And it's so important that you own it. Because if you don't, if you continue to be mad about where you are, the truth is, and I have this conversation all the time, and I say, I don't understand why God gave me the marriage he gave me. And in the midst of the conversation, you find out that they knew God wanted them to walk away from that relationship. And every person in their life who knew God was telling them to walk away from that relationship, but they continued to pursue it. God didn't do that to you. That's what sin does. That's what sin does. And some of you are here and you need to own it. Say, you know what, God? You didn't do this to me. I put myself here. It's so important. It's so important. Because here's the thing. You don't have to be afraid of God. You do not have to be afraid of God. 1 John says that perfect love casts out all fear. If we fear, it's for fear of punishment. And that's because we don't understand grace. 1 John is very clear about that. You do not have to be afraid of God's punishment. Jesus Christ has taken that for you if you will accept it. But you should be terrified of sin. You should be terrified of sin. And when you own it, it teaches you to fear sin. It teaches you to begin to hate sin because you see it for what it is and you see what it does to people. I remember when I was in college, I was dating this girl, and we were out, and all of a sudden we got a call, from her parents. Her sister had gotten into a severe accident only a couple blocks from their house. And they were calling us to ask if we could go to be able to be with her in the ambulance and to be with her at the hospital. And we said, yeah, absolutely. Where should we meet you? And they said, well, we can't go. And the phone was on speaker. And she said, what do you mean you can't go? And they said, well, we've been smoking for the past couple hours. They were so high. They couldn't go to the hospital to take care of their daughter. And I watched that girl's face. And I saw the destruction of sin. Some of you are lying to yourselves about sin. And it's going to destroy you. And not only will it destroy you, it's going to destroy every good thing you have. You need to own it. You need to stop messing around. Listen to how he concludes this conversation with the Galatians. In Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verse 7, he says this. He says, do not be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. He says, listen, guys. You were not given grace so that you could just go on destroying your life. And if you continue to look at sin like you can get away with it, don't be misled. The truth of God will not be mocked. The justice of God will not be mocked. The truth of what God has put in place will not be mocked. The consequence of sin will be experienced. And Jesus has taken the punishment. But the consequence of sin is decay and death. As we walk through the story of Jacob, I think it's crucial that we see and that we understand, that we know and we experience the love, the unending love and grace and faithfulness of God. But just as important is that we see the legacy of a fool. And I think that we would be doing the Word of God a disservice. I think that we would be inaccurate in the way that we communicate the Word of God if we did not, as we come to the end of this series, if we did not ask God to come into our hearts and to examine our hearts and to ask Him, God, where is it that I need to, and I'm going to use a word here that some of you might not know, but where is it that I need to repent? Now, let me clarify that really quickly, because repentance is a word that we don't use very often, so it's often misunderstood. Many of us think about repentance as confession. We think that repentance is when we acknowledge sin. Confession is the beginning of repentance, but repentance is not in and of itself confession. Repentance is the idea that I'm moving one direction and I decide to turn around and go the other direction. It literally just means to change direction. And as we come to the end of this series, what we want to do is we want to give you a chance to repent. We want to take a second together as a family to repent. And for some of you, you know exactly what you need to repent of. You know the sin you're screwing around with. That you think, I'm going to be the exception. I'm going to get away with it. I'm not going to have to experience the consequence of it. You will. You will. For others of you, maybe it's one of those accepted sins, and so you've just kind of embraced it. You're living with it.
And you need God to step in and reveal it in your heart. Don't ignore the one who's trying to save you. Make sure you don't get to the end of your life with the slogan, "I did it my way." Or you will know what Jacob knew. A life of pain and destruction. I'm going to bring the two guitars back up. And what we're going to do for a little bit here is we're just going to repent. We're going to come before God and acknowledge, God, you gave your life to save me, but rather than allowing your grace to move me to love, I've allowed your grace to become an excuse to continue in a life that's going to destroy me and the people around me. And so, God, I just want to repent. I want to confess it. I want to today to change direction. Because I don't want to live the story of Jacob. I don't want to live the story of Jacob. We're going to dim the lights a little bit. The guys are going to start to play. I'm going to lead us out in prayer. And then we're just going to go into a little bit of time of silence for you to be able to have that conversation with God, to invite him in. God, if there's something there, I want you to reveal it. I want to know it. And then also the elders are going to go to the different sides of the room and the staff. If there's any staff in here, I'm going to ask you to go to the sides of the room as well. If you need someone to pray over you this morning, you're here this morning, you're like, man, I'm fighting a battle. I don't know if I'm going to be able to repent. I don't know if I'm going to be able to change direction. We want to pray over you. The truth is that you can experience victory. You can. In Christ, you can know that victory. Jacob could have changed direction. As we come to the end of the conversation, may we bring before him. May we bring before him our own foolish ways. May we bring before him the sins that we've accepted. And decide that we're no longer going to fight with him. We're going to follow him. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you for the story of Jacob. I thank you for the warning sign that it is to every single one of us. I thank you that you have been from the beginning clear about the destruction and devastation of sin. But Father, for so many of us, we've decided rather than to fight the sin, we've decided to fight you. And in the process, we're setting ourselves up to live a life of pain and destruction. And so Father, today we come before you and we repent. Father, we pray. Father, I thank you for your promise that when we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you have shown us in the story of Jacob, and you have shown us throughout your word that your relationship with us, your passion for us, your love for us, your forgiveness of us, your grace towards us, that it never changes, even in this moment. But Father, I pray that you would not allow us to live the story of Jacob, that you would do whatever it takes in our lives to convince us of the destructiveness of sin, that you would not allow us to accept it, that you would teach us to fear it and to hate it. Father, I'm sorry that in the midst of your love and grace, we've continued to believe that you can't be trusted.
ask for your forgiveness. Return to you. And we follow. You are the only one who can teach us to fight. To fight well. You are the only one who can teach us to run the race well. So we turn to you to follow. In Jesus' name. The scriptures tell us not only to confess to him, but to confess to one another. I want to encourage you as you move from this point, repentance is very difficult to do on your own. To find someone in your life that you can go to and say, today I'm repenting of this. I'm changing direction. And if you see me continuing to head that direction, I give you permission to step into my life. Because I don't want to live the story of Jacob. I want to make sure the story of Jacob is never again my story.